the honor and the praise. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you today for joining me for this third wonderful teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And thank you for your comments. I've been loving watching, in fact, what you've said, what you've asked, and so on. Now, today, I continue, and I'm going to teach today on discerning of spirits, and then we're going to go on from there. But let me just repeat what I've been saying, because, you know, I noticed some were asking, say that again, what was the order of the gifts? Remember, the gifts of the Spirit are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. And I read, in fact, beginning at verse 8 to verse 11, which lists the gifts. And then I gave you, like, how to break them down to where you can understand them. And the quickest way to me is if you break them into revelation gifts, vocal gifts, power gifts. And so we're going to go from there. But first, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to show us today. Bless your people with your word today, with your precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason I'm teaching on this is because I want you to stir up the gifts inside of you. Just like Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gifts, you know. Now, I know it's in the Bible, but every so often we need to be reminded by someone who says to us the same thing. Stir them up. You know, get to understand them, get to know them, and begin to walk in them. So, the gifts of the Spirit, they're for our profit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. They profit our life. They add to our life. The gifts of the Spirit are 9 in number, but I don't believe we can limit the Holy Spirit to the 9. I just, you know, that's just what is written and what is given to us. I think the Holy Spirit's gifts are limitless. But we have 9 gifts, what we are told, that must be practiced in our life and the church. I think when the Lord returns, there'll be gifts we've never even heard of. So let's you know, again, break them down. In your head, revelation gifts, vocal gifts, power gifts. And you put what? Under the revelation gifts, you put 3. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, which we're still talking about. Now, the vocal gifts are what you speak. So what are they? The gift of tongues, the gift of the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. So then, oh, it's easy, see? And then the power gifts. The power gifts then are faith, because that's power, healings, miracles. So we got them really simple. Wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits. Then we have tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then prophecy. And then the last ones, we have faith, healings, miracles. That's it. Now, when you begin to look at the word of wisdom, which I mentioned to you already, wisdom is the application of knowledge. So when the Lord Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he used wisdom. He knew how to apply the word at the right time. Or when he was questioned by the Pharisees, you know, do we pay tax? Should we pay tax? He said, whose image is this on the coin? Render unto Caesar. Wisdom. We see it with Paul the Apostle when he was, being condemned, almost condemned, by the Roman authorities and accused, I should say, first by the Pharisees. And he noticed Pharisees, Sadducees, he says, this is my moment. He says, I'm called here because of the resurrection. And he was rescued from that moment. It was a big test for him, and he used the word of wisdom. So these are very, very important gifts that we must have in our lives. And I also showed you on Monday how Paul had all 9. Because some say, well, you know, the Bible says to some is given to this gift and to some. But the real truth is we can all have all gifts, because it says we are to desire the gifts. So why would God say desire them if we can't have them. So, now, today I want to talk about, and I did discuss the word of knowledge, but I want to talk about, and by the way, the word of knowledge, just in case you actually missed it, besides the word of wisdom, is the application of facts, which is very important. The word of knowledge is where God reveals to you a specific piece of information that brings a solution to a problem. So when I, in my crusades, call out healings, I'm giving a solution to a problem. So sometimes it's very important we understand the word of knowledge, like in Acts 5, where Peter perceived that Ananias had lied, and he gave a word that rescued the church from pollution. Would have polluted the whole church had Peter not dealt with it. And so that beautiful gift is really ignited by worship. And I mentioned all that yesterday and much more. And it's the witness. It's like Romans 8:16 talks about where we know we're born again, you know. And then the word of knowledge is where you know God is showing you a solution to a problem. Now, the discerning of spirits. And I kind of began talking about it yesterday, but I want to really continue today. It's the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to detect, to perceive the source of a spiritual manifestation, whether it is God who is doing it, whether it is man who's doing it, or whether it's a demon doing it. Now let's look at all three. Peter the apostle walks into the house of Cornelius. He, as a Jew, had been told never be with any Gentiles. It's against everything he knew and believed and was taught. Now God gives him a vision. He sees a sheet full of animals. God says, eat. And he says, I'm not going to eat anything that's unclean. And God says, don't call anything unclean. I have cleansed, meaning the Gentiles. Now, you have to understand this is very important because the gospel was preached only to the Jewish people. And the early church never believed or thought that the gospel would be offered to anyone outside Israel. Even the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that had been in their system. Well, we're not allowed to even talk to the Gentiles or associate with the Gentiles or even say hello to them or go visit them. That's why they were called dogs, you know, when the Lord said about the Syrophoenician to the lady, you know, who was a Syrophoenician. He said, the bread belongs to the children, not to the dogs. And dogs was not a mean way to call Gentiles. That's just what was a term for anyone outside the covenant, basically. So, just imagine Peter having been brought up all his life that he cannot go to be with any Gentile. And now he's standing in the house of Cornelius with many people sitting there who are not Jews. Think about the shock of that moment. He needed that gift, the discerning of spirits, because he discerned, he detected, he understood this is God. Because how can you tell without that gift? Even though he had the vision, still he needed that gift to, when he entered the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius said an angel appeared, well, you know, Cornelius could have been, you know, saying something untrue. But Peter knew by the Spirit that everything Cornelius said is true. And then we know what happened. The whole world now is blessed because of that moment and because of that gift he had. What if he walked out of the house and said, no, I'm not going to do it? Of course, God would have sent someone else. But still, think about the importance of that gift. Now you got another moment here where in in Acts chapter 8. Let's go to the book of Acts and let's look at chapter 8 and let's look at verse 18. And while I'm teaching, by the way, I'm going to tell dear Chad over here, it's getting cold in this room, so bring it up 1 degree. Thank you. This is live, so anyways. Now, Acts 8, verse 18 through 23, it says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.'" Wow. "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." He knew that the source was the human spirit. He detected that the one who was speaking was not a demon, but the man. Sometimes, you know, we kind of mess it up. We think it was a devil talking when it's really the guy talking. Or sometimes we think it's the guy talking, or it's the demon talking. He said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart," here we go again, your heart, he detected it's his heart talking, not some devil, "that thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive," watch this, I'm perceiving the gift of the discerning of spirits here is working. You are, not the devil. "You are in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity." So your spirit is messed up, fella. And you need help. And you need deliverance. And then, of course, he said, you know, "Pray for the Lord, you know, pray for me," and da, 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 da. So here we see he absolutely, Peter detected. It's not a demon he needed to cast out. It's a man he needed to rebuke and say, "Correct, stop it." See the difference. Huh? Now, Peter, we just saw Peter with Cornelius and Simon, the sorcerer. But now let's look at Paul. And you see, now, all three of them were difficult situations. The first one, his tradition was against him. The second one could have easily been a demon talking, but he said, "No, it's not a demon. I discern that there's something wrong with the guy's heart, with the man's heart." Now, this is the toughest one of all here in Acts 16, because in verse 16, which I already read to you, but I really want to expand on it because it's, I think, so powerful. "It came to pass as we went to prayer," Acts 16:16, "a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying," witchcraft. "The same followed Paul and us," us meaning Luke and the companions of Paul, "and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.'" Now, she was speaking the truth. Here is a demon through a lady saying the truth about someone. "The same followed Paul and us and crying, 'These are the men who bring us the way of salvation. They are the servants of God.' And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command.'" Now, how did he know to say it's a devil? See, even demons can speak truth and nobody will know the difference if they don't have that gift. Demons know truth. They don't believe it. They don't live in it. She did that many days. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that same hour. Now, how did he know it wasn't the human spirit? Because it's very easy for the human spirit to say the same thing because of the gift. Think about how many people have been harmed, how much damage has happened to people's lives for not having the gift of discernment. I've been dependent on that gift all my life. And believe me, I've had moments. I had a lady walk up to me in a store on a Monday back in the 70s, I just started preaching. And as she began to talk, I knew it was a devil in her. And I rebuked her. Rebuked the demon in her. And freedom came to me, and I walked out of that store. I've had many, many, many things happen to me where I could have rebuked a demon, but it wasn't a demon, it was that individual talking. I'm telling you, the Lord saved me out of many amazing situations with this amazing gift of discerning of spirits. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, give that gift to your people. Let them know when you're talking. Let them know when you're working. Let them know when it's their own heart talking or working. And let them know when the devil is behind it, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Now, let's go to the vocal gifts. Let's begin with talking about the gift of tongues. We'll continue tomorrow. Now, tongues. He didn't say tongue. He said the tongues in 1 Corinthians 12. There are three kinds of tongues. Number one tongue is Acts 2. And verse 4 and 6. We'll go through them in just a second. In Acts 2, it was a language people understood. The second tongue, because it says tongues, the second tongue is in 1 Corinthians 14:2, where it says no man understands it. So you got Acts 2, 4 and 5, 6, where they understood what they said. They said, these people are speaking languages, we understand what where we come from. Now you got 1 Corinthians 14, 2 that says we speak mysteries unto God, which means nobody understands it. But then you have one, tongues for public edification that must be interpreted. So when we talk about the gift of tongues, we talk about three different gift of tongues. Gift of tongues number one, it's Acts 2 and beginning at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation. And when this was noised, they were amazed because they said, because we hear them speaking in our own language, in our own tongue. That cannot be the mysteries of 1 Corinthians 14. And in 1 Corinthians 14, we all know what it says in verse 2. And let me just read it. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Well, wait a minute. They did understand them in Acts 2. So it couldn't be the same thing. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So here is another tongue that is only God understands it, that brings total confusion to the enemy. And then you have a third tongue, 1 Corinthians 14, beginning at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, then let it be by two or three, but let one interpret. So this one is equal to prophecy. Now, this is very amazing, that the one mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14:2 does three things. And this is the mysteries unto God I'm talking about. The one that is a mysteries unto God confuses the enemy. Number two, breaks yokes of bondage. And number three, brings you into the presence of God. That is the second tongue. I don't have to say a whole lot about the first tongue, because the first tongue is an earthly language, which is, by the way, happened on earth. I will never, never forget. I was preaching in Sweden, and dear Stanley Shobrick had the city church, one of the largest churches in Europe. And a man came to kill him. It was an Arabic terrorist, an Arab, because Stanley was very pro-Israel, was talking about Israel all the time in his church. And this fella came with a gun to kill him. An old woman got up, began to pray out loud in tongues in his church, not knowing she was speaking perfect Arabic, exposing the guy who had the gun. The guy ran down the aisle, hit the floor, repented and got saved, and gave the gun to Pastor Stanley. Nobody knew what was going on till he told them what happened. He said, that woman, who's that woman? They called her down. She had no clue she was speaking Arabic. No, she said, God just told me to pray because she saw the danger. The guy comes down with a gun, you know, and he's standing in front of the pastor. The gun is, of course, hidden at that moment. And God said, begin to pray. She got up, began to pray out loud, not knowing she began to pray in Arabic, exposing the guy to himself. Wow. Munich, Germany, back when they killed the Israeli athletes. YWAM students, dear God in glory, do it again. Because of the killing of the athletes, the Israeli athletes, that was way back, you know, in the 70s. You can look it up on Google, or there's actually a movie about it called Munich. There's an old one and there's a new one. Don't watch the new one, it's horrible. Anyways, but you need to know about the story in case, you know, those who are young. It shook the world. And YWAM students went there to the Olympics in Munich. It was the Olympics in Germany. And God said, walk around and just pray in tongues, because it shook the whole village. And they began praying in tongues. Every one of them did not know they were speaking in languages that people understood. And people were getting saved everywhere they went because they were talking their language. And they came and told them and told us. I'll never forget in the catacombs in Canada when YWAMers came and told us what happened. It was amazing. God told me this is going to happen again in America and especially in Orlando. Woo! Glory to God. Anyways, so these are amazing gifts that I think God is going to bring back. But there's one that's you praying mysteries unto God. I'm out of time. I don't believe it. You know what? I'm having such a great time. I didn't realize I'm almost out of time. Yeah, I know I can go on, but you know, I keep it to about, you know, under half an hour for your sake and my sake too. Let's continue tomorrow, because tomorrow I want to talk to you about the interpretation of tongues, the tongue that needs to be interpreted, and how to pray and how to, you know, flow in that, because it's equal to prophecy. Please don't miss tomorrow, okay? Lord, I thank you for your word. Blessed be your name. Lord God, I give you praise. Lord, I pray that gift will live in your people. The gift of tongues will manifest daily in their life. And yes, Lord, anoint them even sometimes to speak in a known language so others will be saved and delivered in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I give you praise for what you're going to do in our life. To you be the glory and the honor. And God's people said, amen. Lord, meet every need. Answer every prayer. Lord, I come into agreement with you right now. I come into agreement with you that every need is met in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen. It's time to give to the Lord. Listen, I want to pray with you. But before I pray with you for your finances, I'm telling you, it's time you really believe God. I'm saying it over and over because it's happening with me and it's real. God wants to reward you for the losses of 2020. God wants to reward you for the losses of 2020, but you have to be a giver. Someone just called me and told me they're sending me something that I wasn't expecting. I'm telling you here, God will not forget the seed we've sown and the seed we continue to sow. In 2020, I didn't travel a whole lot. March of last year, many of us preachers didn't know what to do, and ministries began to wonder, but God was still blessing us. But me personally, I was traveling besides doing ministry with you and for you. I was traveling personally, not all the time, but sometimes. And suddenly everything stopped because of COVID and nobody could fly nowhere. And I began to wonder, Lord, you know, what's going to happen with me personally? The Lord has not failed me for one minute. And I've gotten people, I'm telling you, people who have called me, especially recently, and said the Lord wants to bless me with, you know, a gift. And I'm just, it's really amazing. Lord, let the same happen for your people. Let the same thing happen for your people in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, giving is a heavenly privilege. And when you give, the Lord responds in a big way. If you are financially today struggling, why don't you test it out? You know, God says, try me. And that's the only time he says to test me is in Malachi, you know. Yeah, prove me now herewith. Try me, come on. Prove me now herewith. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and bless your life with many blessings, there'll not be room enough. He's God Almighty. He cannot lie. He's God. He's not a man. Okay? Let's obey him and watch what he will do for you. And Lord, prosper that seed, prosper that gift, multiply that gift, and Lord, give that one a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't miss tomorrow as I continue talking about the gift of tongues and a whole lot more. And then I'm going to finish by Friday, if you can believe it. I'm going to try. All right. Shalom.